Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is Gemara Megillah Daf Chav Gimel. Today we're learning Lili Nishmas, Jackie Viner's mother-in-law, Ima Leibowitz, Chaya Bas Rav Yaakov HaKohen. All the shows we learn for should have an Aliyah. We get on the very top line, Chav Gimel Omer Aleph, quoting the Mishnah at the two dots. And the Mishnah tells us, B'yom Tov, on Yom Tov we have five Aliyahs, Chamisha. On Yom Kippur, B'yom HaKippurim, Shisha, there are six Aliyahs. And then we said in the Mishnah, on Shabbos, there are seven Aliyahs. So the Gemara starts off and says, who's the author of our Mishnah? Masnisin Mani. So the Gemara says, the author can't be Lo Rabbi Shmuel, Lo Rabbi Akiva. The two opinions that we know, as we'll see in the following Braisa, don't seem to jibe with our Mishnah. Those two opinions, Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, are learned in the following Braisa, the Tanya. B'Yom Tov, the first opinion, which we'll see, is Rabbi Shmuel's opinion, says that on Yom Tov, it's five. Okay, that jibes with our Mishnah. Not a problem, there are five Aliyahs. Rabbi Yom Kippur Mishisha, that jibes with our Mishnah. On Yom Kippur, there are six Aliyahs. B'Shabbos Shiva, and on Shabbos, there are seven Aliyahs. That seems to be perfectly in accord with our Mishnah. But here's the part that's not in accord with our Mishnah. Here it says in the Braisa, Ein Polchasim Mehem Vein Mosif and Aleim Divri Rabbi Shmuel. He says that you can't make any hosophos. Now, in our Mishnah, we had stated that you can make hosophos. It was a machlokus, whether that's just on Shabbos that you can make hosophos, which is the de facto halacha l'maisa, or whether you're also technically allowed to make hosophos on Yom Tov and or Yom Kippur. So technically, we do allow them. Practically, we don't. So therefore, this is a machlokus. There are those that say, no, you can't do it at all, which is why we don't make them unless there's an outstanding, extenuating circumstance. So, this is not like our Mishnah, Divri Rabbi Shmuel, therefore, doesn't seem to be in accord with our Mishnah. He has the Aliyahs in accord with our Mishnah, 5 Yom Tov, 6 Yom Kippur, 7 Shabbos, but he doesn't allow any Hosafos, whereas our Mishnah certainly allows Hosafos for Shabbos at least. Rabbi Akiva, that's the second opinion, Rabbi Akiva Omer, B'yom Tov Chamisha, that's like our Mishnah, or B'yom HaKippur M'Shiva. But here, Rabbi Akiva holds it on Yom Kippur, you have seven Aliyahs, not six. And he says on Shabbos, Shisha, you have six Aliyahs, not seven. So that certainly is not in accord with our Mishnah. And Ein Polchas in the hand, Abu Mosifin Aleim, he does agree that you're allowed to make Hosafos, but that part could be in agreement with our Mishnah. But the baseline, six on Yom Kippur, seven on Shabbos, that our Mishnah said is not the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. He says it's six on Shabbos and seven on Yom Kippur. So therefore, Mani, whose opinion is our Mishnah? E Rabbi Shmuel, Kasha Tosefis. E Rabbi Akiva, Kasha Shisha V'Shiva. As I pointed out, our Mishnah doesn't go like Rabbi Yishmael because Rabbi Yishmael in this price doesn't allow Hosafos, but the Mishnah does. And it's not Rabbi Akiva because Rabbi Akiva says that Yom Kippur has seven Aliyahs and Shabbos only has six. And our Mishnah said the other way around, that Yom Kippur has six Aliyahs and Shabbos has seven. So again, Masnisin Mani, who's the author of our Mishnah? So I'm a Rava. Rava tells us, Tana, Dede Rabbi Shmuel, it is the opinion of the Beis Medrash of Rabbi Shmuel. The Tana of Rabbi Shmuel, they learn the Beis Medrash of Rabbi Shmuel exactly like our Mishnah. B'yom Tov Chamisha, B'yom HaKippur M'shisha, B'Shabbos Shiva, and Ein Pochs Mehen, Avo Mosifin Aleim, Divri Rabbi Shmuel. The Beis Medrash of Rabbi Shmuel, they had the Girsa of Rabbi Shmuel that you are allowed to make Hosafos. He already had agreed, everybody agreed that it was the 5, 6, 7, same pattern as the Mishnah, 5 Yom Tov, 6 Yom Kippur, 7 Shabbos, so that never was a problem. But according to this opinion of the Beis Medrash of Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Shmuel's Shita was that you can make Hosafos. This opinion is exactly the opinion of the Mishnah. Therefore, Rava tells us that it is the Tana of Rabbi Shmuel's understanding of Rabbi Shmuel. We just had the other Braisa that didn't hold like that. The other Braisa said the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel was that you cannot make Hosafos. So we have a stira in the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel. The Beis Medrash Rabbi Shmuel said he holds you can make Hosafos. The Braisa opinion of Rabbi Shmuel says you cannot make Hosafos. So Kasha Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Shmuel. Steer it in the words of Rabbi Shmuel. The Gemara gives a terrace that it does very frequently. Trei Tanoia, leave the Rabbi Shmuel. Yeah, we had a machlokas as to what Rabbi Shmuel's opinion was. In the Braisa that we brought down at the beginning of this year today, they held that Rabbi Shmuel holds no Hosafos. And the opinion of the Beis Medrash Rabbi Shmuel, they hold that Rabbi Shmuel holds that you can make Hosafos. Trei Tanoia, leave the Rabbi Shmuel. Gemara asks, Montana Lohaditanya, who's the author of the following Braisa? The Braisa says, B'yom Tov, on Yom Tov, Ma'achrin Lavo, we come late to Shul. We'll see what that means in a second. It means that the davening starts late. It doesn't mean that the people can come late, but the davening starts later on Yom Tov. So you normally have a 7:30 davening on Yom Tov, you daven 8:30. We'll see in a moment the interesting reason why. And also, the davening should be shorter. The davening should be allowing people enough time to get back home and have real simchas yontif and enjoy their lunch meal with their family. So again, interesting, on Yom Tov, you're supposed to start the shul time later, and you're supposed to not drag out the davening. You're supposed to be mekatzeh the davening, not skipping anything, and not chas v'shalom, and not saying it mila b'mila, but you don't kvetch out the davening. Marin lotzis, you try to get out of shul earlier. That's what the Bryce says is a Yom Tov. Now, why is this the case? Why do we recommend that the davening start later on Yom Tov morning and end earlier? So there's a din, of course, that we've learned many times, that ochel nefesh permitted on Yom Tov. So therefore, you're allowed to cook on Yom Tov, have nice fresh food. So therefore, you want the people to prepare the food before the davening, so it'll be ready right when they come home for the davening. They won't have to start cooking then. So therefore, we start the davening a little bit later to allow people to go. As Rashi points out over here, the third line in the Rashi's, B'yom Tov Ma'achrin Lavo, the Beis HaKnesses, you come a little bit later, so you start the davening later. Shetzorich L'troach B'sudas Yom Tov. This is what it tells us in one of the, quote, minor tractates, Masech the Sofrim, where it says that daven a little bit later on Yom Tov morning in order to prepare for the food. Now, the Yaivitz, Rav Yaakov Emden, has a famous statement over here in the Agos Yaivitz, and he says, Ochel nefesh muteres v'yom tov, v'av she'ein zu meleches anoshim. He says, who prepares the food? Now, I don't mean to be sexist in any way, but just practically speaking, the vast majority of Jewish households, it's the wife that is preparing the food. There are exceptions. Certainly, absolutely nothing wrong with that. You'll see in a moment the importance of this Yaivitz. So he says that since women are normally the ones that are preparing the food, who's watching the kids? So he says, even though the women are the ones that are doing the majority of the cooking, the men have to stay home, and shul starts a little bit later. Tzrichim heim lishmor al habayis. The men have to go and watch the house, the hayiladim, and the children. B'shor shenishoseihem oskos b'tzorchei hasuda. The women should be allowed to go cook in peace and be able to cook properly and have great simchas yom tov, so the men start the shul later so they can take care of the kids while their wives are cooking. Likewise, begavim tzrichos siyua mibalem, and in case they need help from their husbands, so the husbands are home. So that's why, amazing, why the davening starts later on Yom Tov morning, because there's an opportunity to go and cook then. As opposed to Shabbos, we'll see that you start the davening earlier, because you can't cook. Everything's already prepared beforehand, so therefore, daven shul in the more optimal time. He brings down as well that from the Brais, so in Maseches Sofrim, it's Mashma Shehanoshim Chayavos Bishmias Kriyas HaTorah. He says, no, another reason is that women are obligated in Kriyas HaTorah, according to this opinion. And therefore they started davening a little bit later, so the women have time to get to shul to hear Kriyas HaTorah. The Pre-Chodesh asks a very interesting question over here, and he says, how are you allowed to go and do your needs before you daven? Normally there is a rule, we learned in more in Baruch, you're not allowed to do anything you want before you daven. You have to first daven, you take care of Hashem, kaviyachol, first, and then you take care of your own needs. So therefore, on Yom Tov, the heter over here to be involved with Tzarchei Suda is because of Simchas Yom Tov. So that's not called your needs. That's called HaKadosh Baruch Hu's needs. As he writes, Osur lasos chafetzav kodem sheyispalo umashva shedavka chafetzav osur avolchevtze shamayim are in fact mutarim. So therefore, that's why you're allowed to go cook before the davening. And they bring down, this is the source of the custom that many people, they go shopping Friday morning before davening to go get fresh food for Shabbos. So this is also, that's not called your chafetzim, that's called doing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's work, and that is allowed to be done before davening. You're allowed to learn before davening. Again, the whole discussion of Gemara Baruch Hu is maybe you shouldn't get too involved in the learning, so it will impact your davening by thinking about your learning, but certainly you're allowed to do Chetzei Shamayim before davening. The Magen Avraham brings down one more fascinating item over here. It says that you have to leave shul a little bit earlier on Yom Tov if you don't kvetch out the davening. So he writes, Ein roi laharich betfilas Yom Tov yoser midai. And he says, V'yesh ligar b'chazonim hamarichim betfilo ad l'achachatzos. The Magen Avraham writes, it's improper to stretch out the davening. And certainly, if it's going to go past chatzos, you should glower at those chazonim. In other words, the gabayim, the shul administration, the rav, they should be telling the chazonim, this is the end point in time for the davening. We want to make sure that people are enjoying Simchas Yom Tov. And if they're in shul past chatzos, so that's certainly not a good idea. And this is inappropriate type of behavior, even though it's seemingly l'shem shamayim that they're davening an extra long davening that's still inappropriate. Again, I don't want anybody to misunderstand. You have to daven mila b'mila. You should daven that you should say every word with kavana, but the dragging out of the davening, the kvetching out of the davening, that is what the Magen Avraham is very much against. Okay, that's the first part of the braisa. That has no problems. That's not why we brought this down over here. The problem will be that we're going to ask who's the author of this braisa. It doesn't come from the yontif question. It comes from the next two things. The braisa continues, says, B'yom HaKippurim, on Yom Kippur, Nemarin Lobo, we go to shul early, Yom Kippur. You certainly want to take advantage of this holy day and spend as much time as you can in shul. You're not eating, so there's no concerns about preparing any food. So Maharin Lobo, we get up early to shul. However, it says, "Uma'achrin lotzeis," but you leave shul very late. Now, why are you leaving shul so late? So the Gemara is going to suggest that maybe this is because you have seven aliyos and not six. And this would go in accord with the opinion of Rabbi Akiva and not Rabbi Yishmael. That's what the Gemara is asking. Man tana l'hod d'tanya, who's the author of this braisa? Right now, we want to suggest that maybe this is Rabbi Akiva. That's why you come home late for shul, because there's seven aliyos and not six. And it says, Ubi Shabbos, Umarin Lavo. On Shabbos, you also get to shul nice and early, because again, you're not preparing any food. However, Umarin Lotzis, but you get out of shul earlier. Again, why? Because Mustama, there's only six aliyos. Therefore, Lema Rabbi Akiva, the Isle Gabra Yisera. Let us say that this braisa is authored by Rabbi Akiva because on Yom Kippur you come home a little bit later because there's seven aliyos, and on Shabbos you come home a little bit earlier because there's only six aliyos. Well, I says, no, not necessarily so, as many of you are probably thinking. This certainly could be in accord with Rabbi Yishmael. Guess what? The Yom Kippur davening is a lot longer than the Shabbos davening, the Nofesh Sidura, the Yoma, because there's so much more to say. That's why you come home later on Yom Kippur, and not necessarily because of the aliyos. The one extra aliyah isn't going to make the difference in why you come home later on Yom Kippur. It's because there's a much longer davening. Okay, so therefore, this braisa is no raya to Rabbi Akiva necessarily. Now the Gemara says, Hani shlosha chamisha v'yeshiva kineged mi, the fact that we sometimes have three aliyahs, for example, on a Monday, Thursday, or Shabbos mincha, or we sometimes have five aliyahs, like on Yom Kippur, and we'll see in a moment where we get six from, and the braisa says over here, and seven kineged mi, who are the seven aliyahs that we have on Shabbos according to Rabbi Yishmael, which is the way we paskin, or seven according to Rabbi Akiva on Yom Kippur. So what are they connected? Now, we already learned previously on Daf Chaf Aleph that the three aliyahs are connected either the Tanakh, the Torah, Nevi'im, Ksuvim, or connected Kohanim, Levi'im, and Yisraelim. So Gemara here is looking just for additional allusions to this idea. So the source of this is as follows. Pligibor Rabbi Yitzchak bar Nachmeni v'chadimei. Rabbi Yitzchak bar Nachmeni had a machlokes about this with somebody that was with him. Now, who is this person that was with him? Umanu. So the first version has it. This is Rav Shimon ben Pazi. That's the Bali Plukta over here, Rav Yitzchak bar Nachmeni and Rav Shimon ben Pazi. Second version has it, Yamilei, that the version should be as follows. Rav Shimon ben Pazi v'chadimei. That Rav Shimon ben Pazi had a machlokes with somebody else that was with him. And who's that other person? So here we have two versions of that. Umanu, Rav Yitzchak bar Nachmeni, v'amilei, Rav Shmuel bar Nachmeni. Either it was Rav Yitzchak bar Nachmeni or Rav Shmuel bar Nachmeni. In any event, we have this machlokes over here between these Amoraim. And it says, Chadamar, one of them, we don't know which one, says, Keneged Birkas Kohanim, that the three aliyahs, the five aliyahs, and the seven aliyahs, they Keneged the Birkas Kohanim. Birkas Kohanim is three psukim. Yirech Hashem Yishmerecha has three words in it, and that's the Keneged, the Monday, Thursday, Shabbos afternoon laning. Then you have Yer Hashem Ponav Elecha Vichuneku, that is five words, that's Keneged the Yom Tiv laning. And then you have the last part, that has seven words, and that's connected either Rabbi Yishmael's Shabbos or Rabbi Akiva's Yom Kippur. So that's the first opinion, that the 3, 5, and 7 are from the 3, 5, and 7 words that are found in the three psukim of Birchas Kohan. The other opinion was connected Shlosha Shomri Hasaf. The three aliyahs is connected the three Shomri Hasaf that are mentioned in Melachim Beis. And then you have the Chamisha, that's five, is Meroe Pnei HaMelech, that's also found from Melachim Beis. And then you have the Shiva Roe Pnei HaMelech, that's from the Megillah, and that's the 3, 5, and 7 are connected there. A Brisa supports this latter statement. Tony Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef learned the following Brisa, Shlosha Chamisha V'Shiva, Shlosha Shomer Yasav, Chamisha Meroe Pnei HaMelech, and Shiva Roe Pnei HaMelech. So the Brisa supports that opinion that said it was these Psukim from Melachim Beis and Megillas Esther that are the 3, 5, and 7. When Rav Yosef learned this braisa, so his Talmud Abai said to him, Amale Abai, Ado Idna, until now, my time alone parish lon ma. Why didn't the Rebbe teach us this braisa sooner? It's such an important braisa. So Amale, Rav Yosef said to him, Lo Havi Yadana, I didn't know the Tzrich Tule, that you didn't know this. I would have been happy to teach it to you. I didn't know you didn't know this. Umi Ba'isu Minai Milsa, have you ever asked me something, Velo Ami Lecho, and I haven't taught it to you? So I thought you knew this. Now I'm teaching it to you. I'm glad I'm teaching it to you now, because I thought you knew it. Okay. The Gemara starts off and says, "Nu, what's the sixth? Either according to Rabbi Shmuel, this is Yom Kippur, like we paskin, or according to Rabbi Akiva, this is Shabbos. What's the source to allude to six aliyahs on, respectively, Yom Kippur, Rabbi Shmuel, and Shabbos, Rabbi Akiva?" So I'm going to say Yaakov Minor. Yaakov Minor is an interesting name. It's unlikely that he's really a min, right? We wouldn't call somebody by their name. It says, as Tosus points out, the pasuk says, Shem Risharm Yerkov, you should get the names of the wicked rot. In other words, we don't mask it. We wouldn't mention the name of a Rasha in a discussion necessarily. So therefore, some suggest that Yaakov Minor is just Omele Yaakov, don't go as the word Minor, or that Minor was the name of a place, and therefore that's why he's mentioned. There's nothing wrong with mentioning the name of his place. Okay. So, Omle Yaakov Minor, this Amora said to Rabbi Yehuda, said to the Amora Rabbi Yehuda, Hani Shisha, the Yom Kippur, can make me. What's the source for the six aliyahs on Yom Kippur? Again, according to the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel. So, Omle, Rabbi Yehuda tells him, Kineget Shisha Shamdu Mimino Shel Ezra Veshisha Mismolo. We have a pasuk from Nehemiah, actually, but we call Ezra Nehemiah, it's one safer, it's Ezra. So he says, the pasuk there says that there were six people that were standing to the right side of Ezra, and six people that were standing to the left side of Ezra, and that's the six aliyahs is connected those six people. Shenemar, what's the pasuk telling us? By Yamod Ezra Sofer. Ezra Sofer stood Amigdal Eitz on a wooden platform. Asher Asu Ladavet, they specifically made for this reason. And it says, Vayamot Etzlo, and as we'll see to his right, there was Matisya, that's one, Veshema, that's two, Vanoya, that's three, Vuriya, that's four, Vechukiya, that's five, Umasaya, that's six. These are the six, Tamidei Chachamim, Al Yamino, that were standing to his right. And then on his left side, Umismolo, you had another six Tamidei Chachamim. Pidoya number one, Mishon number two, Malkiya number three, Vechusha number four, Vechash Badona number five. And then it says, Zecharya Meshulam. Now, is that six or seven? Is that two people or is that one person? Now, there's no vav before Meshulam, like we had a vav after each name, so therefore that's going to allude to the answer over here that Zechariah Meshulam is one person, and he had two names, and we'll see why in a moment. But first, the Gemara questions and says, Hani Shiva Habu, to the left, if you count Zechariah as number six and Meshulam is number seven, so then there's seven, not six. So Gemara answers, no, there's no vav over there, and Zechariah Meshulam is one person. Hainu Zechariah, Hainu Meshulam, it's one person, same guy. Now, my car Meshulam, if his name was Zechariah, why is it called Zechariah Meshulam? So this is an additional name that's given to him, the Mishlam Ba'ovode, because he was such a tzaddik, so therefore he had completed all of his work. As Rashi says, Tomim B'maisov, he was very pure and had completed all of his work, so therefore he is known as Zechariah Meshulam. Zechariah, the one who is Meshulam, but not that it's two separate people. Ah, so this is the six to the right, six to the left, that's where we get the allusion to six aliyahs on Yom Kippur. Tanya Rabbanan, we learn the following braisa, Hakol Olim Minyan Shiva, when you're giving out the aliyahs on Shabbos, and many of the Mefarshim say this is only for Shabbos, it wouldn't apply when we have less than the seven aliyahs on Shabbos, so technically you can give the aliyah to any people you want, surprisingly, including children, Afilu Katan, and maybe even more surprising, Afilu Isha, and even a woman can get an aliyah on Shabbos. That's the technical din. However, that's not the psak. Aval Amru Chacham, the Chacham said, no, it's improper. Isha lo tikra batora b'mnei kovet zibur. It's improper to give a woman an aliyah because it's a lack of kovet at zibur. Now, the Magen Avraham and Rabbi Akiva Eger say, even according to the original supposition that you could technically give a woman an aliyah here, so they bring down that it would only be one woman to be counted in the seven. The Sma gets furthermore, since the Gemara said that we don't do this, so then they can't even be motzi somebody b'di'evet. So therefore, they can't get the aliyah even b'di'evet. Interestingly, the Yaivet says, if there is no man that's capable of laning, and only the woman knows how to lane, so then possibly you would still be allowed to give the woman the aliyah. But that is not accepted in the Psak Halacha. And finally, in the Sefer Yofel Alev, he brings down that we don't allow a woman to lane in the Tzibur to get the aliyah. Remember, they used to lane as well as get the aliyah. He says, Mitnei Maris Ha'ayin, she is stockable, because people are going to look at her, and that's improper. And he adds another reason, Shekol B'isha Erva, that her saying the laning, her singing the laning, that's an erva, that's a problem. Kol b'isha erva, it's kol isha. And therefore, you wouldn't be allowed to do it for that reason. And he brings this down from the Kolbo, says that's why a woman shouldn't read the Megillah as well, because of kol b'isha erva. Bottom line is, halach l'maisa, we do not give aliyahs to women. Similarly, by a katan, the minhag is not to give an aliyah to the katan, albeit technically, a katan could do the maftir. And that is not one of the seven essential aliyahs. And in places, for example, where there is nobody else that knows the Haftorah, sometimes you have a Kiruv shul, where you really have the Rav and maybe the Rav's son. And the Rav's been laning, the Rav's been davening, and his son knows the Maftir. And the son is 12 years old, so then technically you could give the Maftir and the Haftorah to such a younger child under the age of Bar Mitzvah. Again, the minhag is that we don't do this, except if it's under the most extenuating circumstances. They ask in the base manager, Shibaluhu, Maftir, the Aliyah of Maftir, which is practically, halachically, Lamaisa speaking, is an extra Aliyah. It's not included in the seven Aliyahs of Shabbos, but the Gemara is asking, is that really the base din or not? Technically, as we'll see, if you only have seven Aliyahs, including the Maftir, you are Yotze. That does include it. But Lamaisa, we have seven Aliyahs, and then we have the Maftir. That's what the Gemara is asking. Maftir, Ma'u Shiyala, Lamin Yeshiva, yes or no? Does the Maftir count as the seven Aliyahs or not? Lamaisa, we know that it doesn't. He had a separate maftir aliyah, but min hadin, could it count as the seven aliyahs? So this is machlokas Rav Huna for Yimri Ba'aba. Again, we don't know which one said which. Chadamar Ola, one said, yeah, it's part of the seven aliyahs. So Chadamar Edo Ola, no, it's not one of the seven aliyahs. You have the seven aliyahs, and then you have maftir. What's the swar behind each opinion? Mandi Amar Ola, the opinion that said that it does count as one of the seven aliyahs because the Hakari. Why would you think it doesn't? When you think about it, you're supposed to have seven aliyahs, so why would this not count as one of the aliyahs? The other end of Mandi Omar, according to the opinion, says, ain't a wall, it doesn't count one of the seven aliyahs. That's based upon what Ula said. What did Ula say? The Omar Ula said, why do we have the person who gets the maftir and reads from the Navi, from the Haftorah, why do we also give him an aliyah? Because it's, so to say, pasnish, that he should only get to read Navi. Or alternatively, as Rashi says, Shloye Kavod Torah, Bekavod Navi Shava. Yeah, this guy got Chumash, this guy got Navi, they're all the same. No, so Mishum Kavod Torah, Lo Mishum Chova, Labi Minyanu. So since this Aliyah is just as a Kavod Torah, that the person shouldn't only get the Navi to read, he should also get Torah to read, that's more Chashiv, so therefore it's not one of the seven essential Aliyahs, it's only Al's Kavod Torah, and therefore, Vekivan, the Mishum Kavod Torah, Liminyana, Lo Solik. It's not included in the seven essential aliyahs for Shabbos. So how do we paskin? Nesir, where it says, Hamaftir benavi lo yivchos mi esim v'yecho psukim. When we have Haftorah, so it was set up at a time when they weren't allowed to lay, and the persecution from the goyim didn't allow us to lay, and so the rabbi set up that you read a appropriate Haftorah keneged the laning of that week. And therefore, since the laning has seven aliyahs, so they set up the Haftorah to have 21 psukim, seven times three, the minimum three psukim for each aliyah. So we allude to this by having 21 psukim in the Haftorah. Now, that's the base din. There should be a Haftorah, there should be 21 psukim. We'll see in a moment there are many exceptions to this rule. But based upon this din, Kineged Shiva Shikara B'Torah, V'Misa, if you're counting the Maftir, S.V.R. Bo'ahavion, if the Maftir was an essential part, so then it should have said 24, because there would be 7 plus 1. The fact that it says 21, it shows you that the Maftir is included as one of the seven. Or says, no, lav dafka. Kiven, the Mishum Kavod HaTorah, since this is considered an aliyah, as we pointed out, for Kavod HaTorah, we turn to Chav Gimel Amid Beis, kenegdo nami lo boy. So therefore, it's not included in the Hap Torah, even though it's seven aliyahs plus the Maftir aliyah. Still ask the question, Masiv lo Rava. Rava says, Vare, the Pasuk tells us, Olo Seichem Sifu, the Lo Havin Esim V'chad, the Haftorah that we read, V'oloseichem Sifu, this is the Parsha of Tzav. The Haftorah for Tzav is read over here from Yirmiyahu, and there's less than 21 psukim. So how can you tell me that you have to have 21 psukim in the Haftorah? Nevertheless, Ukrinon, and we read it. So Gemara says, Shiny awesome, the Solik in Yon. No, if you have an entire sugya, so then it could even be less than 21 psukim. We pointed this out the other day in regards to Vayovo and Malik. The lane that we read on Purim morning is the exception to the rule. It's only 9 psukim and not the minimum 10 that we had set. And we said that's because it's an entire sugya. It's an entire inyan. So then even though it didn't have 10 psukim, it had only 9 psukim, it's acceptable. So to be it, the entire Haftorah, as the Haftorah of Parshas Tzav, is less than 21 psukim, but it's one sugya, so then that's acceptable. The 21 isn't an absolute, it's an idea. The Gemara says, "V'heichad lo solik inyana lo," and you're telling me that if you don't have the full sugya, So then you must have at least 21 psukim. So Rav Shmuel bar Abba, Rav Shmuel bar Abba said that sometimes he would get the Haftorah Zimnim, sometimes Sagi and Hava Kamina Kamei de Rav Yochanan. Sometimes I was saying the Haftorah in the presence of Rav Yochanan, and I'd be reading the Haftorah, and he'd tell me, stop. B'chi Hava Karina, Nasar Psukim. As soon as I read 10 psukim on my lawn, he told us, that's enough. Avsiku, let's go weiter. We read enough. Now, I didn't finish the Sugya, and we only read 10 psukim. So how can you tell me it's only if you read the entire Sugya? So Gemara says, no. Malkum sheyesh turgaman shiny. In some places, they used to have, as we discussed already, they used to have someone reading the Haftorah and then someone teaching it, translating it, reading the Targum, Yonos ben Uziel, reading Targum on the Haftorah. So therefore, the Baal Kore would read the 10 psukim one at a time, and the Meturgaman would translate them. So after he read 10 psukim, they de facto had 20 psukim because they reread those 10 psukim by reading the Targum. And therefore, they would just read one more pasuk, and that would be enough. And that's why he stopped them after 10 psukim and said, no longer do we have to continue. We read our 21 psukim, and we're fine, even though we didn't finish the sukkah. So that's the Gemara's Teretz. Malkum sheyesh Targum and shiny, the Tani Rav Tachlifa bar Shmuel. As we see from the following brisa that was quoted by Rav Tachlifa bar Shmuel, we said, lo shanu, this din, is that you don't have to read the 21 psukim, is ela b'mokum shein turgamin, that you must have 21 psukim if there's no turgamin. Ba'al b'mokum shein turgamin, if you do have a turgamin pasuk, then it's enough to read the 10, as I just said, because then you're translating it, that's another 10, and then you read one more pasuk, and that's the 21, and life is good. Okay, next Mishnah. The Mishnah is now going to tell us a number of things that require a minyan. So the Gemara starts off and tells us, ein parson al shema. Now, this parson al shema is a very interesting idea. Rashi explains, Minyan habola beis haknesses li acher shekaru hatzibur eshma. You have people coming to shul. They davened on their own. They didn't have a minyan, and now they come to shul and they want to say shma, the brachas of kriyas shma, and some dvarim shebikdusha together. So what do? Omed echad. One of them says va'omer kaddish ubaruchu ubracha rishona shebikriyas shma. So they put up a chazan to be motzi them all. Now is a tzibur. One of them says the chatzi kaddish. He says baruchu. He says the first bracha, Yotzer HaMiyoros, and then he says the Shema. And this is known as Parson Es HaShema, because Parson means half, Loshon Chatzi HaDover, and you're only saying one of the brachas of Kriyas Shema, and this is allowed to be done when they didn't have a minyan beforehand, and now they're coming together for minyan, but they already davened. So this is called Parson Es HaShema. So you're only allowed to do this, all of these things in the Mishnah, ain't Parson Es HaShema. You're not allowed to do this, we'll see, unless you have a minyan of 10 men above the age of Bar Mitzvah. Likewise, they in Ovi Lufnei Ateva, we don't have a Chazaras Hashatz. We don't go and have the Shmones read publicly by the Chazan unless there's a minyan. In Ovi Lufnei Ateva, that's called, you don't have somebody go up in front of the Tzibur and say Chazaras Hashatz. Likewise, they Nosin Eskaban, we don't Duchen unless we have a minyan. They in Korma Torah, we don't Lain unless we have a minyan. They in Maftirim Benavi, and we don't do the Haftorah unless we have a minyan. Vein osin mamad umoshav. Now here we leave the davening and we go into something in regards to avelus. So we know that there's a custom, the Gemara in Brachos discusses why, but it's based upon psukim, based upon certain practices, that they would go and have seven stops, what are called the maimad umoshav. They would stand and stop there, and then they would keep on going. They would stand and stop, then they would keep on going. The Gemara will discuss this a little bit more. So in order to make these stops, you needed to have a minyan. Otherwise, it wasn't considered appropriate to make these seven pauses. And that's the custom we have, is we say Yosheb Seis Yisrael, and we keep on saying an additional pasuk each time, an additional word, and we say this seven times during the seven stops. Likewise, Vein Omer Birchas Avelim, we don't say the bracha known as Birchas Avelim. The Gemara will discuss what this is, we'll see in a moment. And likewise, V'tanchumi Avelim, they used to have a certain type of a bracha that they would say, not what we say, Hamokim Yenachem Yisrael, they would say it in the form of a bracha, and therefore you needed a minyan in order to say this as well. Likewise, going from the sadness of a levaya to the happiness of a wedding, ubirchas chasanim, the bracha that we make under a chuppah, requires having a minyan. Vein mizamnim b'shem, and likewise in the benching, when we say nevarach elokeinu shechalim yishalo, you need to have a minyan to say that, to add on the shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu elokeinu. Vein mizamnim b'shem, all of these pachos me'asar, you can't do any of them if you have less than a minyan. Again, 10 men above the age of bar mitzvah. Then it tells us one last din, ubakarkos, when you're going to do an appraisal of land, so you need to have a certain number of people to do an appraisal of land. You want to sell property that was confiscated by Beis Din to pay back a debt, or from the estate for Yesomim to support them, so then you need to make sure that you have it absolutely evaluated to the correct extent, so you don't take anything from that person that really isn't, and it's worth $1,000. You sell for $500, you just caused the estate to lose $500. So they're very careful about that. So you need to have this appraisal done with 10 people as well. But here, there's an additional qualification. It has to be Tish of a Kohen. It's 9 people and a Kohen. You have to have one Kohen amongst the appraisers, as the Gemara will darsh now from the Pesukim. And likewise, not only for karkos, for Adam, when there's a certain situation where you have to evaluate a person, for example, he says, I'm going to donate myself to tzedakah, so the value of myself, I'm donating to tzedakah. So you have to evaluate the person, kayotzeben, you have the similar evaluation process, the appraisal process done for a person as well. The Gemara will discuss all of these things. Gemara starts off and says, Minyan immediately, where do we get the idea that these things require a minyan? What's this concept of a minyan in halacha? So Amar Rav Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rav Yochanan. Rav Chiya bar Abba says the name of Rav Yochanan because it's based upon the pasuk. Now we'll see this is a double gzeir shava, and this gzeir shava of toch toch eda eda will now be darshed out. Famous gzeir shava, and it's based upon the pasuk that it says Damar Kra v'nikdashti b'soch b'nei Yisrael. It says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says I can be sanctified only besoch b'nei Yisrael. There's certain things, the davar shebekedusha v'nikdashti has to be in a minyan, besoch b'nei Yisrael, which implies, called davar shebekedusha, anything that's a davar shebekedusha that requires a sanctification of God's name, lo yepachos mi'asar, you need to have a minimum of 10 men above the age of bar mitzvah in order to be able to do that. My mashma, how do we know this? So it's the famous double gzei reshava of toch toch eda eda. The Tani Rav Chiya, Rav Chiya learned as follows. Asya toch toch, we have the word over here in the pasuk, that I will become sanctified when I'm in the toch of the Bnei Yisrael. And it says, in regards to Adas Korach, it says, Uksiv Hosam, he bodlu mitocho Eda. Go and separate yourself from the wicked group of the Eda of Korach, because they're going to die. And so there it says, mitocho Eda. Now, we don't know how many people that is. But Asya Eda Eda, so we have the Toch Toch to teach us that just like by the Eda of Korach, that's going to be the din of Toch over the Mitoch Eda, so that's going to be the din of Nikdashti B'soch B'nei Yisrael. But how do we know how many people that is? So there you need a second Gzeir Shava, Eda Eda. Asya Eda Eda, the Chsiv Hosam, it says, in regards to the Meraglim, Ad Masai Lo Eda Haroa Azos, and you have 10 people in that Eda, because, of course, Kolev and Yoshua, who were amongst the spies, so they, of course, did not say Diba Ruah al Eretz Yisrael. So there were 12 Shvatim. Kolev and Yeshua removed themselves from that group, and therefore you had 10 people left. So that Eda consists of 10 people. So we learned that to Gzei Rishava, to the Adas Korach, that was 10 people. Separate yourself from Mitoch or Eda, from those 10 people. And then we learned out that Toch Toch, Nikdashi B'soch B'nei Yisrael. So therefore, Malahal and Asara. Therefore, Afkan Asara. Gemara continues by quoting the Mishnah. It says, "V'ein osin maimadu Moshe pachos me'asara." So we don't have those stops unless you have a minion of 10 men. So Gemara says, "Kivan deboy lemeimar imdu yukarim amodu shvu yukarim shvu." Since we have to say, "Stop, stand over here, and sit over here," so therefore that wouldn't be proper cover since you're talking to the tzibur. It's a lack of cover to do this. As Rashi says, La triach shaliach lekach, to go and set up a person to do this, to lekros on yikarim, to call them, oh, my dear people, dimkein ma'anach delim rubin. If you're going to do this for 3 people, so then what are you going to do for 10 people? For a larger crowd, it's a lack of kavod to do it for such a small group, and therefore we only do it if you have a min. Okay. Then we quote the Mishnah. It says, Ein omen birchas aveilim. I said we don't have birchas aveilim. He said we don't have the tanchum aveilim, and we don't have the birchas chasanim unless you have 10 people. Pachos mi'asara. So what is the source of all of these things? My birchas aveilim. What is birchas aveilim? So Rashi tells us that they were used to say bracha l'menachemim b'fnei atzmon. They made a separate bracha, as they point out. We just say hamokim menachemim. They had a separate bracha for this, and they would say the following nusach: Achinu, our brothers, Baal HaGmul, the one who gives out all goodness, Yishalim Lechem Gmul Chematov, should give you back goodness, Brochat Hashem, Mishalim HaGmul. That's the bracha that they would say. And to the Aveilim Bifnei Atzman, they would say the following, Achinu, our brothers, Baal Nechomos, Yinochem Eschem, the one who's in charge of comfort, should be Menachem you, Brochat Hashem, Menachem Aveilim. Now, so these are the brachas that are called over here, the Birchas Aveilim and the Birchas Tanchumim, and these needed a minyan. So the Gemara says, when was this done? My Birchas Avelim, when was this done? Birchas Rechava. This was done after they returned from the funeral. They would have the Sudas Havara out in the street, and they would say this at that point in time. The Rechava is the street. The Amar Rav Yochanan, Rav Yitzchak Amar Rav Yochanan, Birchas Avelim Basari, you require 10 people in order to do this Birchas Avelim. They ain't Avelim in Aminyan. And you don't count the Ovel, because these 10 people have to be talking to the Ovel, so you need 10 people besides the Ovel. However, at a wedding, Birchas Chasanim, when we make the brachas under the chuppah, so then that is Biasara. That is 10 requiring men as well. But here, the Chasanim min haminyan. We do include the Chasanim in the minyan. We quote the Mishnah of Ein Mizamin Al Mazel B'Shem B'Pachos Me'asar V'Chulei. We don't say Nevarach Alo Keinu. We don't say Nishem HaKadosh Baruch Hu unless we have a minyan. Why? Where it says Kivan Deboy LeMeimar Nevarach Alo Keinu. Since we're saying the words, let us bless all of us to Elokeinu. So Batzim Me'asar Lav Arachar. Again, it's lack of cover. If you don't have 10 people to say HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name there, we just say Nevarach Shelchal Mishalo. We just say let us all bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but we don't say Elokeinu. We quote the Mishnah, and it says, Hakarkos, in order to evaluate, to appraise land that you're selling on behalf of the Beis Din, taking away from somebody, Tish of a Kohen. You need to have 10 people. One of them has to be a Kohen. And likewise, for a person, when we evaluate a person, the same thing. Adam Kiyotzaban. Now, the words of Chule aren't there, because that really was the end of the Mishnah. Okay. Minanimili, again, what's the source for this? 9 people plus a Kohen. So Amr Shmuel tells us, Asara Kohanim Ksubim B'Parsha, it says 10 times in the Parsha of these evaluations, the word Kohen. Rashi brings down, and the Pesukim that deal with donating things to the Beis HaMikdash, it says 3 times the Kohanim, the word Kohanim by Erchin. The person says Erch Yolai or Erch Kohalai, which is based upon age and gender. Ushlosha B'Behema, 3 times in evaluations of Behema. The Arba B'Karkos, and 4 times in regards to evaluations of land. B'Kivin the Mishami B'Wasara, B'Ina Asara Gavri. And since it's a total of 10, that's where we get the source for 10. So Shmuel tells us over here, Asara Kohanim Ksuvim B'Parsha. It mentions the word Kohanim 10 times in these Parshios. You need one to tell us that you need at least one Kohen, the Echad L'Gufe, that one Kohen. We delete the words V'chad L'Mute because it just doesn't make any sense and it's not found in other places. And therefore, the Edoch, the other 9 times, have a Miut Achar Miut, the Ein Miut Achar Miut El L'Rabos. So the other 9 times, it's a Miut Achar Miut, it's a double negative. And double negative is like a positive. So therefore, one time you need to tell me you need one Kohen, and the other times it says Kohanim is telling me that you don't need a Kohen. It's a Miut Achar Miut, and therefore you don't need a Kohen. Ein Miut Achar Miut Elo L'Rabos, and therefore Tishu Yisraelim V'chad Kohen. Bottom line is, 9 people, Yisraelim, and one of them has to be a Kohen, total of 10. Okay. The Gemara says, no, if it's Ein Miut Achar Miut Elo L'Rabos, so then number 1 is the Miut, telling me you need a Kohen. Number 2 is the Miut Achar Miut, so that tell me, okay, number 2 guy doesn't have to be a Kohen. But then you have number 3, that's not a Miut Achar Miut anymore. So then number 3 guy should be a Kohen, and number 4 is a Miut Achar Miut, that would be a non-Kohen. And so it's 2, all the way to 10. So you should need 5 Kohanim, Ve'ema Chamisha Kohanim, Chamisha Yisraelim, based upon this. Where says Kasha, Taka? You're right, that's a Kasha. We don't know why it doesn't say that, but there's an answer when you have Kasha. That means there's an answer. The Gemara just doesn't choose to give the answer right now. Okay. Then we said, Ve'odom Kiyotzeben, similarly, you have an evaluation of a person, so that also was done with 10 people, one of whom has to be a Kohen. Adam Mikadosh, Shmuel says, what do you mean? You're not Makdish yourself? Shmuel says, yeah, you are. Amar Rabbi Avo, and the following situation. When you say Erikulai, that's based just purely upon gender and age. But if a person says Domi Alai, I'm dedicating to the Beis HaMikdash my evaluation, not based upon age and gender like Erikulai, but I say the value of myself as a slave on the free market. That's what you'd have to go and evaluate how much he would be worth as a slave on the free market. The Tanya, Omer, Domi Alai. If a person says, I donate to Hekdish my evaluation as a slave, Shomna Soki Evid, we evaluate him as an Evid. And here you need the 10 people. The Evid is his Karkos. How do we know that this has to be the same evaluation process by Karka? Because an Evid, in some ways, is considered like Karka. In what way? So then you shall transfer them in Yerusha to your children after you. So just like with Karka, it's a Nachala. So Tovia, the Evid is considered similar in some ways to Karka, and therefore, just like you evaluate Karka with this minion of 10 people, including one Kohen, so too when you're evaluating a person, it has to be this minion of 10 people, one of them has to be a Kohen. Okay, we'll just start the next Mishnah, we'll read it, and we'll probably reread it again tomorrow, but let's just finish the daf. So the next Mishnah tells us that Kari B'Torah, if you're laning, lo yifchas mishlosha psukim. We had this previously. The minimum amount of psukim for an aliyah is 3 psukim. But lo yikra lemeturgamin yosri pasayachad. And when you're reading with a meturgamin, somebody's translating, so you only read one pasuk at a time because you don't want to take any chances. As Rashi says, shalo yitte meturgamin hamatagim apat. Because if you have 3 psukim and he's reading it by heart, the meturgamin could forget something. And we don't want to take any chances. You'll forget something when you're learning because Torah has dinim there. So if you make a mistake, that could lead to a terrible takola. As opposed to, when we turn to Chavdalad and Aleph, the Navi, when you're reading Navi, Vishlosha, it will be fine to have 3. As Rashi says, in Yitz, if you want. Below Ichpat one, if you read 3 psukim and then you metagam all 3 psukim and he left something out, in Yitz, little nafkamina, harot. It has no halacha lamaisa ramifications. It wouldn't get the full understanding maybe if you left something out, but it's not going to lead to a takola. Therefore, if you want to, you can read 3 psukim when you're doing the Haftorah and then translate them. Mishnah continues, how you shlosh dom shlosha parshos. However, if in the Navi it was 3 separate sugyas, in these 3 psukim, then read them one at a time. Echot, echot, korin, echot, echot. Then it tells us, medagu Navi, you're allowed to skip around in the Navi, and you don't have to read continuously in the Navi, the aim medagu matar, but you've got to read continuously in the Chumash, you can't go skip around in that same aliyah. So even though we'll skip around between aliyahs, sometimes, for example, on a tiny Sibur, we start by Echal earlier in the Chumash, and then we skip to the second aliyah, where we skip, so that's allowed. Between the aliyahs, it's allowed, but not within the same aliyah. Be'im adagim Torah, albeit in Navi, you'd be allowed to. No, in a Navi, how much can you skip? Ya'akamu medalek, how much can you skip in a Navi? Ad kadei shel yifsoka meturgamen. The amount of time that the meturgamen's translating, you could quickly mish a little bit to go later on, that would be allowed. But to pause the tzibur, to have a tircha de tzibur, that you're not allowed to do, so you can't go that far away. And as Rashi points out, she'en kovet tzibur la'amod sham b'shtika. It's not right for the tzibur to go and wait there while you're mishing to the right place. That's why it's so important, the gabayim, they should make sure that the Sifri Torah is set up to the right place so the tzibur doesn't have to wait while you mish it. If they take out the wrong Sifri Torah, what could you do? But ideally, it should be open to the right place so that there's no tircha of the tzibur. A very important idea. With this, we conclude today's shiur.